is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately pumping.
Begins, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth Football Club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated pumping.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is a huge football club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The Blues entered the driver's seat at Fleetwood on Saturday.
Tunnicliffe to the far post to Curtis. It'll fall to Brown on his left foot. Brown, he scored! Lee Brown celebrates in front to the Pompey fans.
Lee Brown scored the only goal of the game at Highbury Stadium at the weekend, sending over 1,000 Pompey fans into pandemonium. The goal scorer spoke after the match about the impact those supporters had on the game after over 17 months without their backing on the road.
I think football's missed the fans, especially Portsmouth, over the last 18 months. It's been a morgue at times. When you score, it's not very nice, but it's so much nicer when just a little bit more atmosphere. I think we've missed them massively, and I'm glad they're all back.
Later this evening, we'll also be hearing from head coach Danny Cowley.
I think there's some really good reasons why we couldn't find our rhythm or our fluency. But when you don't have rhythm and fluency, you've got to fight. And we've been speaking all summer about being resilient, determined and gritty, just like the people of Portsmouth. And I thought we were those things today.
We've got a league match to dig through, a cup tie to look ahead to and some big transfer news to delve into as well. It just wouldn't be a Monday evening without some football to talk about, would it? A very good evening and thanks for tuning in. This is Express FM. And for the next 60 minutes, stick around for the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour here on Express FM, the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On the way tonight, we have so much to talk about, including a development in Pompey's pursuit of Luton midfielder Joe Morrell, the future of Michael Jacobs, and a preview of the Blues' Carabao Cup first round tie at Millwall to come as well. But before all of that, we have a small matter of Saturday's league opener to discuss, and we would absolutely love to hear the post-match thoughts of you back home too. Were Pompey fortunate to come away from Fleetwood with all 3 points? Could you tell the difference in the mentality of the squad compared to that under the previous management? And who was your standout performer? Does Ryan Tunnicliffe get your vote for his solid display in the middle? Or perhaps Alex Bass, who pulled off a number of saves to keep the Cod Army at bay? Get in touch with us between now and 7 o'clock. All the usual ways. It's at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter. Text the word Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. For the first time this season, let's take a short trip back in time to hear just how the events of Pompey's last outing played out. Andy Moon and Glenn Little were your commentary team on the Fylde Coast.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey in that change kit going from left to right in this first 45 minutes. Fleetwood traditional home kit. And here we go, BBC Radio Solent Sports. And we are underway. And it is loud in Highbury Stadium as Fleetwood send the ball on. There's always this blustery wind here. Raggett wins a header, comes off the Fleetwood captain Rossiter and out for a corner. And Morris has stolen the ball off Robertson and breaking into the box. Brown trying to get back. Morris into the near post. Real chance. Desperate defending from Freeman. Denies the opportunity. Fleetwood still have it in the penalty area. Still danger for Pompey. Cross comes in. Blocks high in the air. Headed to the 6-yard box. And Raggett volleys away. And the warning signs are there for Pompey. 0-0. Yeah,
the ball is crossed over to Clark on this right-hand side. Left corner of the box. Played in towards the near post. Loose chance. Great save pass. Follow up. Wonderful challenge by Raggett. Saving challenge, corner kick, still 0-0. Curtis lining up his run, 4 paces, in it comes. Curtis shoots, over the wall, hits the bar and over. And lands on the top of the stand and bounces back down. 0-0, the closest Pompey have come by some distance. Harness is crossed to the near post. It was missed by Clark. Marcus didn't gamble. Now it's there again. Tunnicliffe to the far post to Curtis. It'll fall to Brown on his left foot. Brown, he scored! Lee Brown! Celebrate in front to the Pompey fans. An unlikely scorer. An undeserved goal. But Pompey ahead in the second half. Fleetwood 0, Portsmouth 1. Again headed to the edge of the box. And Pompey might have a break on here. And Curtis could be away. Can Rico Hackett Fairchild play it to him? He's made a mess of it. But Curtis has picked it up and offside. What an absolute waste of a 2-on-1. And Portsmouth have blown a brilliant chance to put the game away. And the whistle goes. And Portsmouth start the season with a victory on the road here at Fleetwood. They were very much second best in the first half. But they have come back and Lee Brown strike, virtually their only shot on target in the game. The difference between the two sides. 3 points for Portsmouth here at the Highbury Stadium. It is finished. Fleetwood Town 0, Portsmouth 1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from the weekend as Pompey claimed victory on the opening day for the first time in 3 years. It's early doors, of course, just a singular match played for all 24 clubs in League One. But that result puts the Blues into sixth. Results elsewhere saw Rotherham defeat Plymouth to go top of the table after match day one. AFC Wimbledon saw off Doncaster at the Keep Moat Stadium to claim second, with Sunderland, Wickham and Burton Albion, the other teams on the winning side of the weekend, making up the rest of the top six. OK, let's welcome in tonight's guest then. First of all, the warmest of welcomes to Tom Malley. Tom, a very good evening to you.
Good evening, Jake. Great to be back. Buzzing to talk about Pompey again, to be honest.
Yeah, it is a great feeling to be back, Tom. Really, really echoing those thoughts there, and really, really looking forward to delving into this show as well, and really delving into the season as a whole. Let's welcome in the second guest for tonight's show, and joining Tom tonight, we have the returning Josh Sweetman. Likewise, Josh, good evening. Welcome back to the show, mate.
Evening, Jake. It's a pleasure to be back as always.
Pleasure to have you both, lads. Right, the first talking point of tonight's show, I think, inevitably, there's only one winner here, and that is, Tom, the return of supporters to football grounds up and down the country. I'm not just talking at Highbury Stadium at the weekend, where Pompey took just over 1,000 fans to Fleetwood. I'm not just talking the Fleetwood fans on the opposite side of the stadium. I'm talking the entire 72 clubs across the Football League welcoming supporters back inside the turnstiles for the first time, really, at a full capacity in 17 months. What a moment that was.
Oh, absolutely. It's so good. Like you said, not just at the Pompey game, but all up and down the country. It just goes to show football is nothing without fans. And it's just so good, just to hear as well, fans back in the stadium. And fingers crossed it can stay that way for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, and just listening to the highlights package just there, Josh, as Tom mentioned there, it's not just seeing the fans packed inside stadiums again, it's hearing them. And, you know, the greatest example of, you know, hearing fans at a football ground is Pompey, because they were making an absolute racket on Saturday, and their presence was so clearly felt throughout the entire 90 minutes.
It was. I think it was absolutely fantastic to see. I mean, Saturday morning, I never thought I'd have such a big smile on my face seeing photos of people with cans of beer at 5:30 in the morning on the train. But I think especially for Pompey, we hear all the players say it, and it's such a big factor of having almost a 12th man behind you supporting you. It's almost sucking the ball into the goal, isn't it? So it's going to be a huge factor, because last time we had fans at the football, we went undefeated at home until the season got almost postponed. So yeah, it's a massive factor.
Yeah. And, well, the second biggest talking point, Tom, obviously, is to open up the new season with a victory. The first time in 3 years, 2018, the last time the Blues recorded a win on the opening day of the season. That was a 1-0 win over Luton at Thratton Park. And so I'm told that win on Saturday against Fleetwood, that 1-0 victory for Pompey, so I'm told, was the first time Pompey have won on the opening day away from home since the 1980s.
Well, who knows? It could be a good omen. You know, not a bad way to start the season. I'm sure, arguably, we may not deserve the win, but to be honest, first game this season, get it out of the way, 3 points on the board, and we're ready to go again.
Yeah, and looking at the game as a whole, we'll come to analyse it in a little bit more detail in a few moments' time, Josh. But Pompey in the first half, really on the back foot, Fleetwood dominating and controlling large periods of the opening 45 minutes. The only real chance Pompey had, Ronan Curtis with a free kick, hammered off the bar and over the goal. Fleetwood with plenty of opportunities, real wasted chances too. Sean Raggett had to come to the rescue at one point when Alex Bass pulled off a save. He looked defeated at the second attempt. Sean Raggett coming in last ditch to clear it. Fleetwood, you could argue, really unlucky not to have one or two before the break.
They were, and you look at it on the balance of play, they probably should have been one or two, at least one up at half time. As you said, Raggett did what Raggett does best. He's never ever going to be running out with the ball and playing it 50 yards, but he'll throw his body in front of anything, in front of a moving car. And it was an absolutely fantastic block. I think what doesn't help Pompey is obviously the loss of Williams before kickoff. He's in the team and he comes out, and then you're having to put someone into that central midfield, which completely unbalances you because he's not a central midfielder. He's a defender, he's a left back. At times he can play centre half, but as much as you can try, it's all about positional sense and know-how. And unfortunately, losing Williams so early will disrupt you. And I think we saw it. And thankfully, in those situations, you just need to stay in the game. And that's what Pompey did. Yeah. We stayed in the game. And it's one of those that you will always get one chance. And if it's a nil-nil and you take it, then you've done what you needed to do before you scored that goal. So wasn't an ideal start, but as Tom said, you get those out of the way and you go again, really.
Yeah, perfectly summed up as well there, Tom, by Josh. Pompey staying in the game, not giving up, not, you know, having their heads down, really focusing in that second half, coming into that match and taking the one opportunity. And sometimes it is just that one chance that you need to take by the scruff of the neck and put the ball into the back of the net. And Pompey, through Lee Brown, who was on, by the way, a fantastic form of goal scoring when you take into consideration the last three competitive fixtures. The last two games of last season, of course, Wimbledon away and Accrington at home. Lee Brown scoring twice at Plough Lane before, of course, Pompey hitting a blank at Fratton Park. Three goals and three, essentially, for Lee Brown. You can't take him out of the team at the moment, can you, Tom?
No, absolutely not. And he's certainly proved a lot of critics wrong from last season, and he's carried that form into this season, as you say. And I think a benefit of that as well was knowing that, you know, when called upon, there can be goals from other areas of the pitch, which we may need. So you know, hats off to him as well. And like you said, it was a performance where I think we did grind out the win. I think we soaked up the pressure, did what we needed to do, and used that little bit of quality that we may have had a bit more of than Fleetwood did to get the 3 points. And you know, good side so far that we can grind out the results when we may always be on the back foot.
Right then, let's hear from the man himself. Lee Brown spoke to Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team right after the full-time whistle on Saturday.
Well, Lee, I don't know what to get you to talk through first, the goal or the celebration. I think I'm going to ask you about the celebration.
We've got someone here picking us up, so the boys have jumped in, got there. He was here waiting for us, so he's pretending we were driving home already. It was all fun and games, isn't it?
You can tell us that you don't plan these celebrations beforehand. We had boxing at Wimbledon and now driving at Fleetwood.
I'll tell you what, the moment just takes over. I don't know what to do, to be honest with you. Literally, whatever comes into my head that split second is what happens. That's all fun and games, and sometimes it's just nice to enjoy the moment.
And the goal itself you must be happy with as well. It was a lovely finish.
Yeah, as I was just saying up there, if you sort of try and get into them positions a number of times, it will hopefully fall to you, and it's just about getting a good connection and hitting the target. But yes, I'm lucky it flew in, to be honest.
At Wimbledon, there are obviously no fans. You celebrated with the Pompey fans very much today. That must have been, you know, made it an even sweeter moment for you.
Yeah, I think football's missed the fans, especially Portsmouth, over the last 18 months. It's been a morgue at times. When you score, it's not very nice, but, you know, it's so much nicer when just a little bit more atmosphere. I think we've missed them massively, and I'm glad they're all back.
And as a defender, you must be very happy with the clean sheet as well?
Yeah, I think what we went through yesterday and losing Willow in the warm-up, you could tell the boys were tired. You could tell the boys boys were very leggy. But look, we can make them excuses because we won. But look, we're buzzing with the result in terms of we know the performance weren't there. We know that the energy weren't there. People have watched us enough in pre-season to know how we want to sort of play. And that weren't us. But look, to get a clean sheet in the circumstances against Fleetwood, who are not a bad team at home, is pleasing.
And obviously you're straight on to Millwall in the Cup next week as well. Is that one that you're personally looking forward to?
Yeah, I've look, all the games, you know, especially with the fans back, I think everyone's looking forward to playing in front of fans. Just having that atmosphere back, I think we've missed it for 18 months. So just playing football with fans and having a bit of atmosphere is something I think all players are relishing at the moment.
Goal scorer Lee Brown there speaking after that 1-0 win over Fleetwood at the weekend. And, you know, we spoke about the goal scorer Lee Brown just before that interview, Josh. But, you know, really looking at Pompey's performance in that second half, when you compare it to that opening 45 minutes, was it clear to you that at half time, Danny Cowley and Nicky Cowley, of course, had some choice words to say? They changed it up a little bit and really tactically matched Fleetwood on the pitch and prevented them from creating as many opportunities as they did in that first half and therefore went on to win the game. It wasn't pretty, but got the job done.
At the end of the day, these sort of first couple of games, 0-0 away from home, I think in the situation and the first half performance, you probably would have snapped somebody's hand off for a point. But as I said earlier, it's about staying in that game. And for me, and I don't want to take anything away from Lee Brown's finish, but I think Danny Cowley has had a huge impact on his goal, on the fact that Lee Brown is scoring goals. I remember him saying when he comes in, he likes to get his fullbacks further forward. And if you look at the way that sort of Lee Brown positions himself now, he's in that box waiting for that ball to drop constantly. And if the ball drops to someone like Lee Brown, he can drill the ball straight in the bottom of the corner. So yeah, I think overall, second half, it was a lot better. I think it was a bit more controlled. Fleetwood didn't quite look as dangerous as they did in the first half. And once we scored that goal, we have the perfect centre-back in Sean Maggott to just head everything back and throw his body away. And when you're sort of leading, I always have confidence that actually Pompey will hold on to lead to that, because we've got proper gritty defenders that will stick in and get you a result.
Yeah. We speak about the half-time team talk, you know, we assume took place, Tom. Of course, we weren't in the dressing room, but really reflected in that second half, as Josh mentions there, what happened at half-time and the slight change-up that Danny made to his side. But mentally, really, as well, a heads up. You know, we spoke before that interview as well about how maybe previously Pompey, last season under the previous regime, the players would not have had their heads up, and, you know, they would have been perhaps moping about in that second half and not really believing in themselves that they'd actually get back into the match. But we saw on Saturday a Pompey side who didn't give up. They kept going in right until the final whistle and really had the energy to do so as well. And that's something which I think a lot of Pompey fans really appreciate.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's no lie that we were certainly on the back foot going into half time, and arguably Fleetwood should have been ahead. But as you say there, I think they normally, you know, last season before Danny Cowley came in, their heads would have been down, they would have dropped, they would have found it hard to pick themselves back up and go again. But they did exactly that first game of the season as well. And I think under this new management, you know, Danny Cowley knows how to get the best out of them. And, you know, reiterating the point, their heads didn't drop. They went back out there, did what they needed to do and got on top of the game and came back with the 3 points.
Yeah. OK, lads, stay right there. It's time now to head into our first break of tonight's show, after which we'll come back to you guys, as well as hear the post-match thoughts of Danny Cowley, who was pleased with how his players reacted at half-time following a difficult opening 45 at Fleetwood.
We've done really, really well to come through a really tricky game for us, and certainly wasn't the way that we wanted to play. But when you only have one midfielder in your whole squad, you have to kind of adapt and be a little bit more pragmatic. And we did that. We changed the shape at half-time and just matched them up in a 3-4-3. And I was really proud of the players.
So be sure to stay right where you are and don't move a muscle. The Football Hour returns in just a few moments.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. You're joined tonight by myself, Jake Smith, Tom Malley and Josh Sweetman for an hour of passionate Pompey debate, including reaction to Saturday's opening day victory and a preview of tomorrow's Carabao Cup fixture with Millwall. We welcome all sorts of interaction on the show this evening. We'd love to hear anything you've got to say, be it a comment from a performance of a weekend, a question or even a score prediction. Do not hesitate to have your say. It's really easy to do so. You can text the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. You can tweet in at ExpressFM is what to use on Twitter, email pompey@expressfm.com or visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. And that is exactly what Alan Swift has done. He has emailed in this evening. Good evening to you, Alan. Welcome to a brand new season. Great to hear from you again. Says, hi Jake, I thought those two forwards being subbed on was very strange, subbing two more recognised strikers for two inexperienced ones. Probably no, certainly Bass earned us the win, as ugly as it was according to Lee Brown. A different attitude maybe, but a very fortunate win. Alan from Southsea. Really hard to disagree with that as well, Tom. It was fortunate from Pompey's perspective in the way that, you know, we mentioned before the break, Fleetwood really should have opened the scoring a lot earlier in that game. And Pompey still found themselves with a clean sheet and the 3 points to take home too. So whilst we do praise the change in tactics and the mentality in that second half and Pompey coming back despite being on the back foot, you've got to say there is a slight stroke of luck in that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like you said there as well, you know, we were incredibly on the back foot. But, you know, you need a bit of luck, don't you, as well? And interesting point there about the two inexperienced strikers coming on as well. You know, maybe it was a good tactical decision from Cowley in the sense that, you know, the Hurst and Hackett Fairchild, the two young players, probably had a bit of energy in the legs and it probably just a tactical thing to get us over the line. But yeah, no, like I said, you do need a bit of luck in this game. And we certainly got it, in my opinion.
Mm. We talk about Lee Brown before the break as well, Josh, and how he scored the winning goal for Pompey. Looking at his overall performance, he's got a competition this season to really retain his place at left back. Conor Ogilvie coming in on a three from Gillingham. He's been at Gillingham for a number of years now. He's a recognised left back in League One, certainly a solid player and certainly a great player to have at Danny Cowley's disposal. He will be competing very hard for that left back spot. We'll also speak about Ogilvie's performance in the middle in a little while as well. But really, I'm interested to talk about Shaden Morris, but the Fleetwood Town winger, because throughout the entire 90 minutes on Saturday, I think he gave Lee Brown a headache. He was completely dominating that battle on that flank. And whilst none of these attacks resulted in goals for Fleetwood, I think Brown did struggle to handle him a little bit.
I think he did. I think he'd probably be the first to admit that he had him on toast in the first half. They obviously earned him a booking as well. He's very direct, very quick, very tricky, and it's not easy to defend against. And I think when it comes to, obviously, this battle that there's going to be at left-back, I think Lee Brown wins it, because I think he has much more of an attacking intent, where I think Ogilvie will sit. He's more of a defensive left-back. And for the way that Pompey want to be playing, which we like to think that we're a top six, top seven team, we need our full-backs pushing on and creating chances. We don't want to be a team that sit 17th, 18th in the table and is playing four defenders. We essentially want two centre-halves and two fullbacks. Yes, their first job is probably to defend, but Brown absolutely flies forward, regardless of whether his crosses might not be good enough at times. He gets himself into those positions. So I think for me, he is the first name on the team sheet in terms of that position. And also, we know that, yeah, he had a few troubles on Saturday, but he's also a very, very good defender as well. So I don't think that there's going to be much doubt about who plays at left back this season, in my opinion, anyway.
No. And on the subject of Conor Ogilvie, Tom, what did you make of his performance on Saturday? And really taking into consideration that he started the day named on Danny Cowley's bench and was, you know, really thrown in at the deep end to make his debut for Pompey in a position he's not really accustomed to, at centre mid. How did you rate his performance?
Yeah, well, hats off to him. I mean, I think I read that it was the first time he's ever played centre mid in his professional career. And I think this decision was made, you know, less than an hour before kickoff, certainly. So, you know, chucked straight in at the deep end in that respect. And then furthermore, because he's never played there before, but, you know, I don't think it really showed. I think he's probably got the, you know, the professionalism to be able to fit into that role. And he did it well. He did it well. I think he did link up well with Turner Cliff. I think those two looked pretty solid, especially second half when things calmed down a bit more and we had more control of the game. But obviously, he's primarily left back and even fits in at centre back. So hopefully, he won't have to be put in that position too many times. But, you know, it's nice to know that he probably can fill in there if needed.
Yeah. OK, then we're going to take a few minutes now to hear the reaction of the gaffer, Danny Cowley. The Blues head coach was first asked how happy he was to see his team get all 3 points secured on the opening day of the season.
Yeah, we're really pleased with the outcome. It's a really important win for us. It's been a really difficult week. Lots go against us, and I'm really, really proud of the group, the way that they've come through that. You know, young Ronan and his partner Maddie on Thursday, she unfortunately had a miscarriage, so he's had to work through that. And for him to come and play today is just incredible and just shows his commitment to the club and to the group. And yeah, just wanted to start by sending all my love to Maddie and obviously Ronan and his family. It's just the worst news, and we'll do our very, very best to look after him, as I'm sure all the people in Portsmouth will do. Yeah, we had a 9-hour journey yesterday, which wasn't easy. And as a consequence of that, lost Sean Williams in the warm-up today with a back issue, which is really frustrating because he literally trained every single day, been involved in all of the games. So I feel really, really disappointed for him. And then for Connor to come in and having never ever played as a midfield player and play and do as well as he did was great. And we've done really, really well to come through a really, really tricky game for us. And certainly wasn't the way that we wanted to play. But when you only have one midfielder in your whole squad, you have to kind of adapt and be a little bit more pragmatic. And we did that. We changed the shape at half time and just matched them up in a 3-4-3. And I was really proud of the players because there was lots of excuses for them today and they didn't take them. They fought really hard for one another, and you know, ultimately we found the right answers in the end.
Yeah, you mentioned Sean Williams there. What's the early prognosis on him? Because he'll obviously be a big loss for you if he's out for a lengthy amount of time.
Yeah, no, it won't be a lengthy amount of time. It was just he'd actually felt his back on Thursday evening, picking his little one up. It was quite low level, but then you have a 9-hour journey. And he just stiffened up through that journey, and as a consequence, he warmed up today. We couldn't even really give him a fitness test because if we'd fitness tested him in the morning, then he would have, even if he'd come through that, he would have stiffened up off the back of it. So, I mean, it was needs must with literally just one midfielder or two midfielders in the group. So he did his best to try to play, but it just wasn't right. And we made a decision in the warm up to pull him out. Connor was obviously primed, and we spent some time yesterday trying to teach Connor the number six role in midfield, but it's we just said try to find a balance between Kante and Perlo. but yeah, listen, he did great in the circumstances, and the rest of the players did as well.
Yeah, you mentioned before the game that these sorts of games are normally played at 100 miles an hour. Were you happy with the energy that you saw from your side today?
No, I thought we looked like we had a 9-hour coach journey, if I'm honest. I thought we weren't at it in terms of our intensity. Particularly first half, it took us a long while to get going. I thought we fell off the duels. I didn't think we talk a lot about doing the basics really, really well, and I don't think we did that. It was very, very hard for the group tactically because we have all of our patterns, and then we lose Sean Williams. We then have to go to give Connor some support because it's a very difficult position to play as a single six. So then we have to bring Ryan Tunnicliffe down to be a double six and play as a double pivot. But then that changes the patterns at the top of the pitch. So it's not a moment for us to be critical of the players. I think there were some really good reasons why we couldn't find our rhythm or our fluency. But when you don't have rhythm and fluency, you've got to fight. And we've been speaking all summer about being resilient, determined and gritty, just like the people of Portsmouth. And I thought we were those things today.
No, I know. My coach journey must have been just about worth it for those celebrations when the goal went in and at the end as well, though.
Yeah, well, it was a hell of a strike from Brownie, and he does that regularly. In training, he's got a hammer of a left foot, and it was a super finish, and it came at a really good, important time for us. And listen, we've kept a clean sheet, we've won the game 1-0. Absolutely loads to improve on, but while we're coming together as a group, it's a valuable 3 points.
Head coach Danny Cowley there, moments after the full-time whistle at Fleetwood on Saturday. And much like Danny there, we send our love and best wishes to both Ronan Curtis and his partner Maddie following that really horrible news at the weekend. And really shows the strength and commitment of Ronan, Tom, to have to go through such a tragedy and still make the journey up to come and play for the team. Something you've got to admire.
100%. Didn't let it get in the way of playing for his team, did he? And you know, that showed as well. I think he, you know, he very unlucky with that free kick that hit the crossbar. And even in the goal celebrations as well, you know, obviously he's going to be ecstatic about your team scoring, but I think he probably really needed that. And it's probably, you know, helped him massively. And hopefully going forward, he can sort of use it as motivation as well to do well for the team. But hats off to him, you know, that's absolutely awful news for him. But he still pulled through and played for us at the weekend and did a good job.
Yeah. Definitely. And Danny Carley spoke there about Pompey's determination and grit on Saturday, Josh. And, you know, this is something we previously spoke about on the show tonight, and something that Danny Carley really likes to emphasise pretty much week in, week out. He wants that determination and grit from his Pompey side. And this really the last note from Saturday's performance and the game, really. But maybe the performance wasn't quite there. Maybe Pompey aren't quite the finished product yet. Definitely need some more players through the door, which we'll come on to in a few moments' time. But to see that performance, to see the change in mentality, the tactics in the second half, all you can ask for is 100% effort. And we saw that over the weekend. And if that's anything to go by, if we can be treated to that throughout the course of the campaign, of course, there's going to be ups and downs, there's going to be bumps along the road. But if we can keep that level of determination and grit, as Danny Cowley said, I think we're in for a pretty decent season. And I think as Pompey fans, that's all you can really ask for.
I think it is. And I think he hit the nail on the head as part of his overall post-match interview, saying that sort of grittiness, that hard-working determination, it completely sums up the people of Portsmouth in itself. I think if you look at that sort of game and that performance, yes, it wasn't the greatest, but let's say that performance came under Kenny Jackett, that's the sort of game we go and lose. So it's early days, and I don't think there's anything to worry about yet. As you said, yep, we're incredibly short in terms of squad depth. So, and it takes time also for the Cowley brothers to sort of implement their style of football on what is fundamentally almost a brand new squad. It's not like they're working with a huge amount of the players that they had last year for that time in charge. So it's going to take probably, I hate to say it, the best part of the season to get across everything to these players. You don't want to write off the season. You still hope that we'll be pushing the playoffs. But I think really the sort of what the Cowleys will implement will probably start really shine through at the start of next season.
Yeah. And just a final tweet here from Saturday's game, Will Fisk. He says, for Pompey to go to Fleetwood with 15 fit senior players and win after a minging journey up, Ogilvy forced into centre mid last minute due to Williams' back injury and being battered in the first half, to get the 3 points was outstanding. Signings needed, though, and coming. Will Fisk on Twitter, who at the end of that tweet, signings needed, though, and coming. Or so we thought, Tom. So we thought. So we really, really did think that Pompey were close to signing Joe Morrell, the Luton Town midfielder, Welsh international, played a big part for Wales at the Euros this year. Rumoured to be coming to Pompey before the Euros started, it kind of dried up as competition went on, and with his performances throughout the tournament, you kind of thought that maybe he'd go to a championship team and maybe that was, you know, dead in the water, that one. But Joe Morrell, throughout the weekend, that seemed to come back up. It looked as though Pompey had got the job done. Contract all but signed, medical passed, everything sorted. But really relying on the sale of, or so we speculate, the sale of Michael Jacobs to Ipswich Town. Ipswich have pulled the plug on that at the last moment, and they've instead signed Kyle Edwards. They're no longer interested in Michael Jacobs, which means Pompey's pursuit of Joe Morrell has taken a huge, huge hit. And guess who's interested? Ipswich. Tom, some developments we really didn't want to hear today. Pompey seems to have lost their man.
Yeah, unless you know, magically someone else wants to swoop in and get Jacobs, you know, ASAP. It's looking a bit worrying, isn't it? I mean, obviously the man behind all this is Paul Cook, I think. Is Ipswich side, and you know, how much he's got to do with this, I don't know, but I imagine quite a fair bit. But it's certainly hindered progress for us. I'm sure Danny Cowley is, you know, not the happiest of men right now, is he? But it's worrying, not going to lie. It is worrying. What a signing Morrell would have been, but we needed to sell Jacobs to afford the wages, I think, was the was the kind of message everyone was getting. But now that's out the window. It's not really sure what path we can go down now to still get that signing.
Yeah. Linda Mail on the emails. Good evening to you, Linda. Thanks for getting in touch tonight. She says, good win on Saturday at Fleetwood, but we need to get more players in. Ipswich are causing us problems with them now, probably going to end interest in Jacobs, like we mentioned. Now they have signed Edwards, which was going to free up wages for Morrell, and now they're going to hijack our pursuit of him. Are Ipswich or Paul Cook playing mind games with us after Jacobs was left out on Saturday because he was supposed to sign for them? It seems with our dithering, we are going to lose out on players if we don't get them signed up quickly. Play at Pompey, Linda Mail on the emails. And really hate to say it, Josh, but it's really been the story of the summer for Pompey, missing out on transfer targets who have then got on to sign for promotion rivals or clubs in lower or even higher divisions, really. It's frustrating. Pompey unable to get these deals done quickly. Not really sure why and what the details really are with these and why it keeps happening. But Joey Morrell probably would have been the real big signing of the summer had we got it over the line. And look, he's not officially unveiled at Ipswich yet. There may still be a chance, but it's just so frustrating, especially like, you know, we mentioned throughout the show how light this Pompey squad is. 15 senior players fit on Saturday. We had to name two academy players. It's just, you just want to get these deals over the line, don't you?
Yeah, it's frustrating and you don't know what goes on behind the scenes and you can't make a judgment call. I think one thing that a lot of fans have to realise is that you can't compete with teams like Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday at the moment because the two budgets are different. Yes, they're sort of blowing us out the water, but our budget is smaller because the Arsenal have decided that our infrastructure needs to take priority. Teams like Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday already have training grounds which are almost Premier League quality. They already have 30, 40,000 seater stadiums. They have that in place already. So they don't need to put their money towards the stuff that we do. They can prioritise signing the best players possible at this level, which will give them the best chance of promotion. We have to sort of try and balance it out. And when it comes to competing with them, there's nothing we can do. And I think if you take a step back and realise that, I know that a lot of fans would much rather transfer Kitty would be the priority, but you have to sort out the infrastructure before you can sort of step forward and sort of push yourself. So it does feel like Ipswich are signing every single player to stop people sort of getting them. But I think that, as Danny Cowley says, the real value of the transfer window comes late on when clubs start to panic that they haven't got rid of players, they haven't moved certain players on to free up wages. So there's still plenty of time left, but it is a worry. I think if we get hold of Thompson, not Ben, unfortunately, then and the deal that's being discussed, pay as you play, I think that's a fantastic bit of business.
Yeah.
Because on paper, he's a very good footballer. I know he's got his injury concerns, but if you've got a deal like a pay as you play, there's no real risk involved. Morrell would have been a very good signing, but there's still other positions that we need to strengthen. And I know that Jacobs is on a high wage, but if he doesn't go, I would argue that he is probably, when fit, the best player in our squad. Yeah. And if you can keep him fit, he would be like a new signing in general. So I know you want to throw out that wage, but if he doesn't go, it's another superb player in your squad. I think the one to probably worry about will be whether Ronan Curtis goes. Especially with Blackburn getting some money from Southampton now.
Yeah. Well, that's another transfer saga to delve into, isn't it? That's another merry-go-round we can get our hands stuck into. We'll keep you updated on that one as it goes along. Okay, then, after the break, myself, Tom and Josh will be back to conclude tonight's show. The three of us will be taking a closer look forward to tomorrow night's cup tie at the Den. Keep getting those text tweets and emails in to us Pompey fans all the usual ways. Text 81400, starting with the word Express, followed by your name and message, of course. You can email into Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Pompey Live. We are now looking for your score predictions. Can Pompey see off Millwall and reach round two of the Carabao Cup? Get in touch and let us know your predictions. We'll be back very shortly for the third and final part of tonight's show. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, your home of passionate Pompey debate and conversation every Monday and Friday evening, all season long. We've reached the part of the show where we look forward to the Blues' next fixture. This time around, Danny Cowley takes his side to London to take on Championship outfit Millwall in the first round of the Carabao Cup. Here's Mason Jordan with a more in-depth look at tomorrow night's opponents.
The Blues are straight back on the road for the first midweek fixture of the new season, and this time around for Danny Cowley's side, Carabao Cup action is on the menu.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Championship outfit Millwall are Pompey's round one opponents, with the fixture drawn to play at the Den. There's no love lost between the two sets of supporters, who haven't come face to face in over 9 years. The last meeting between the two sides came in April 2012, when Millwall defeated the Blues by a goal to nil at Fratton Park, thanks to a first-half strike from none other than Harry Kane. Here's a closer insight into the team who will be looking to bring an end to Pompey's League Cup run at the very first hurdle.
Manager.
47-year-old Gary Rowett is the current boss of Millwall. The former Derby and Leicester defender, who was appointed at the helm at the Den in October 2019, succeeded Neil Harris, who left the London club after 4 years in charge. Rowett linked up with Millwall 9 months after his contract at Stoke City was terminated, having seen over just 9 victories from 29 competitive games. His debut in the dugout for Millwall delivered a 2-0 win against his former employers Stoke City, and he has since gone on to record a win percentage of 37.9% with the Lions.
One to watch.
Watch out for well-travelled striker Benneke Fobi during this one. The 28-year-old, who dons the number 23 shirt at the Den, is currently on loan at the club from fellow Championship side Stoke City. Fobi spent 9 years coming through the youth ranks at Arsenal before turning pro in 2010, since representing 12 different clubs, including Huddersfield, Wolves, Bournemouth, and more recently Turkish top-flight side Trabzonspor, with whom he signed on loan for throughout the entirety of last season, scoring 5 in 28.
Top scorer.
Like Pompey, Millwall only began their league campaign on Saturday and during their match against Queen Park Rangers registered a single goal. That strike came from former Blues attacker Jed Wallace, who becomes the side's leading goal scorer this season with one to his name. Though Reading born, Wallace was scouted by Pompey's academy in 2011, having previously spent time as a youth with Cashalton Athletic, Farnborough and Lewes, signing on his first pro deal at Fratton Park in the same year. Wallace made over 100 appearances for the Blues between 2011 and 2015 before moving on to Wolverhampton Wanderers, signing permanently for Millwall in 2017, having enjoyed 2 separate loan spells at the Den from Wolves. The 27-year-old has now made over 200 appearances for Millwall.
Current form.
In pre-season, Gary Rowett's side have beat both Motherwell and Ipswich away from home without conceding, either side of a 4-1 defeat at Arsenal and a 1-1 draw with Gillingham. At the weekend, Millwall were held to another 1-1 draw, this time in the first match day of the new Championship season. Queen's Park Rangers were the Lions' opponents on Saturday afternoon. As a result, Millwall sit 13th in the table after just one game. Meanwhile, Pompey occupy 6th in League One. Will Pompey be in the hat for the second round of the Carabao Cup, or Championship quality prevail with Millwall advancing? All the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Mason Jordan there with a closer look at Pompey's next challenge, Millwall, who host the Blues at the Den tomorrow night for a Carabao Cup first round tie. We spoke in the first part of the show, Josh, about those Pompey fans at Fleetwood on Saturday. We've heard news today that the Blues have sold out their allocation of just over 2,000 tickets to the Den tomorrow night. Some atmospheres that is going to be, you know, in that package we heard about. There's no love lost between the two sides, the two sets of supporters. It's going to be a fiery encounter.
It will be, and like, it's I know that Tuesday night games are always something special, but like, I think 3 o'clock Saturday would have made it even better. But it would be a great, great encounter. No, as you said, no love lost. And I'd be interested to see with the sort of team that we go with. I would have thought with the squad being so bare that it would be minutes for a couple of the fringe players, maybe one or two of the kids, which I don't think Danny Cowley probably will be too worried about the result. I mean, it's one of those, isn't it, that we can go out for the win, but then you risk losing players for Saturday's game, which even at this early stage, the league takes absolute priority to me. But it would be great for those travelling up. And I'm sure, hopefully, he'll all go with absolutely no issues with the Millwall fans as well.
Yeah. What do you think Danny Cowley will do tomorrow night, Tom? Because he spoke after the game on Saturday and in his post-match interview, which we have heard tonight, about how light the squad is and going into Tuesday, really with little options. Could it be a case of rotating it a little bit, bringing some academy players into the fold? Or do you see this as a chance to really stick with the same team we saw on Saturday, stick with what you would assume to continue to be our strongest 11 and really get some minutes under their belt so they can continue to gel together? Like Josh said, the result doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. We're not aiming to win the Carabao Cup this season. Would you like to see that essential first team play tomorrow?
Yeah, definitely. It was nice to give it a go. It's, you know, especially Millwall's a bit of an old school rivalry with them. But going from what Danny Cowley said, especially with Sean Williams' injury, I don't think he wants to risk him. He said the squad's threadbare enough as it is. So I don't think it'll be a surprise to see him rotate the squad a little bit, give minutes to those who didn't start on Saturday, and even, you know, might even throw a youngster or two in there to get a few minutes on the pitch as well. Mm. I think he's a bit unlike Kenny Jackett in the sense that he might not prioritise the cup competitions, especially, like I said, with the threadbare squad. It might be a bit of a mix and match with Saturday's squad and a bit of rotation, but it will be interesting to see. But, you know, either way, I hope we do give it a bit of a go.
Yeah. One player I think it is safe to say who will probably miss tomorrow night's match is Sean Williams. We haven't actually spoke about him tonight yet, Josh. Of course, he was pulled out of the action on Saturday, warming up, felt his back go a little bit. Danny Cowley mentioned that in his interview. Really as a precaution, I guess, on Saturday, not to you know, inflict further injury to it. It's something they're going to look at. We've heard it is just minor. Nothing really to worry about in the long run. But you would probably argue that tomorrow would be a sensible time not to play Sean Williams in a game, like we say, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter whether we win, lose or draw, to keep Sean Williams fit and hopefully ready for Saturday's game at Carew, or against Carew, rather.
Leave him at home, to be honest. I know that he'll be desperate to play against his former club, but league takes priority, and there is no way I would be risking a 50%, 60% fit Sean Williams if it means that he won't play on Saturday. I'd much rather give time to someone in the academy, Jewett White, or even what I thought would have happened Saturday, which is I thought Freeman would have gone into central midfield and Johnson would have come in at right back. So there's ways around it, and I really don't think, especially at Williams' age, I know 34 is no age for, in the sense of things, but for a footballer who's got a bit of an injury, yeah, don't risk it. Let's go without, and let's focus on Saturday.
For those listening back home, you have probably around about 5 minutes to keep getting your text tweets and emails in to us. We're looking for your score predictions. Pompey at Millwall tomorrow night in the Carabao Cup first round. All the usual ways you can find out how to get in touch on our website, expressfm.com. We've got a couple of getting into us now. Dave Byrne on the email says, when you're a Pompey fan, every silver lining has a cloud. It's the way it is. We've had more than our share of disappointments over the years, and it's about time that changed. They say you make your own luck, and maybe we are not helping ourselves with our desire to be top of the league in a financially moral and ethical sense. We are choosing to compete with self-imposed constraints, and this is what happens. I do agree with the approach of the club, but the fact that football is not regulated sufficiently to ensure that all clubs are run by the same set of rules will cause much more frustration for Pompey fans in the future. Dave listening in from Liss. Thank you, Dave, for getting in touch tonight and for your support throughout the season as ever. Mark Luther on Twitter. Joe Morrell, story leak must not have helped the manager today. Hashtag keep it quiet until it's done. Gav Jones also on Twitter. Good evening to you, Gav. Good evening, gents. A long journey was well worth it on Saturday, although that was the first time I've seen us play long ball. Speaking of missing out on Morrell, did we not have £750,000 ready to splash on Jaden Stockley a while ago? Where has that money gone? Gav, not too sure if I'm honest with you, mate. I'm not quite sure if that was the money reported Pompey were going for Jaden Stockley. Of course, he did move on to Charlton. Whether that was an implication of that, not quite sure on that. I guess that's something we could ask in the future. OK, looking ahead to tomorrow then, and Josh, you mentioned a few moments ago about how Pompey and you know how strong we are going into tomorrow's game with the team that we've got, the players that Danny's got at his disposal. Really quickly looking at the reports coming out of Millwall today, is that they're likely to go full strength tomorrow.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll keep banging on about it, but a cup isn't a priority for me. I think if you're a sort of a high-end championship team that thinks you can get to the quarters, the semis, we've seen like teams shock some Premier League clubs, then yeah, maybe go for it. But realistically, we're not going to get to the fourth, fifth stage of this cup competition. So let's just give some important minutes to those in the squad. And really just, if I was Danny Cali, I'd be saying, look, don't worry about the result. It doesn't matter. Just go out there and put a performance in. Because if you do, then, you know, like, there's still an opportunity for you to be considered for the league game as well.
Yeah. And the last time Pompey played against Millwall was all the way back in 2012. Millwall ran out 1-0 winners at Fratton Park in the Championship. That was the year Pompey got relegated down to League One amid all of the administration and money troubles going through the club at that time. The goal scorer was Harry Kane on that day, in a season of which also featured John Marquis within that Millwall squad. So a lot has changed over the last 9 years since the last two teams met. OK, let's get some score predictions in then. And we're going to start with you, Tom Malley. Tom, Pompey at Millwall tomorrow night, Carabao Cup. What are you going for?
It depends on the lineup. If he goes similar to Saturday, I think we might have a good chance of getting something out of it. I'll be positive. I'll go 1-1 and we'll win on penalties.
1-0 win on penalties. And we are hearing it goes straight to penalties tomorrow night. No extra time involved as per last season's rules anyway in the Carabao Cup. Josh, your score prediction, please.
I think that we'll rotate and I think Millwall will be pretty strong. So I'll say 2-1 Millwall, but I'm not too worried about that.
Lovely stuff. Tom, Josh, thank you ever so much for joining us on the show tonight. Have a great week. Enjoy the game tomorrow. And I'm sure we're going to hear from you very, very soon. I'm going to go for my score prediction. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win. Bold, I know, but I reckon we'll do it. OK, Pompey away to Millwall in the Carabao Cup first round. We'll be live here on Express FM from 7 o'clock. Myself, Liam Howes and Ryan Stilwell will have you covered from the Den with full pre-match build-up and live kick-by-kick commentary.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Fourth and found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey got their League One campaign off to a flying start after they beat Fleetwood Town by a goal to nil on Saturday.
It'll fall to Brown on his left foot. Brown, he scored! Lee Brown!
Up next, League Cup action. Pompey head to the Den and they take on Millwall. Join us for all the action Tuesday night from 7.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
We really cannot wait, and I'm afraid that just about brings an end to tonight's show. Thank you ever so much for everyone for tuning in. Get involved on the social media channels as well, the text, tweets and emails. Thank you for tuning in, thank you for listening and for your support throughout the season as ever. Okay, coming up here on Express FM, next up after the news at 7, the Soft Rock Show with Jeff and Aid, followed by Dan Ogus with Scattering Roots between 9 and 11 this evening. Dan Ogus plays folk, blues, roots, etc., and plenty of etc. The Express Wind Down is here from 11 through till 2 a.m. playing just the most relaxing songs all night long. And then tomorrow morning you'll be woken up by Nicola Lashley from 6:30. She sits in for Mason Jordan up until 10 a.m. when we've got Liam Howes with us up until 1 o'clock. Ian James is back tomorrow afternoon between 1 and 4 playing the lyric line, as well as delivering the victory ears from 2 o'clock as well, playing nothing but great songs from the 70s, 80s and the 90s. Mason Jordan's here from 4 through till 7, which is when Pompey Live commences, as we say, live from the Den for full coverage of round one of the Carabao Cup. Pompey are away to Millwall and will be backed by 2,000 Blues supporters. We cannot wait to hear that roar once again. Thank you for listening, Pompey fans. Have a great week. And if you're going tomorrow, stay safe. Play up Pompey and good night.